Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Now, if you'll take your hymnals, I'd like you to turn to number 876, responsive reading. Number 876. Excerpts from Matthew 18:20, John 4:23 and 24 in the Jerusalem Bible. Where two or three meet in my name, I shall be there with them. The hour will come. In fact, it is here already, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That is the kind of worshiper that the Father wants. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship him in truth and spirit.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. And this is the time that we all get together and seek the Lord in prayer. And as is our tradition, those that may be willing to come up front here and kneel with me as we pray may do so now. For the rest of us, those that are able to, as far as possible, let's kneel as we seek the Lord in prayer. And Father, this morning we feel so privileged to be here amongst brothers and sisters and in your presence. We feel so blessed, O God, that we've been able to wake up, to dress, maybe to eat, to walk, and maybe to ride to church. And many times, O God, we are owed that you bless us with such wonderful blessings. And Father, we know we take things for granted many times, that we do such things, that we feel that it's because of us. But in fact, it's because of thy own will and thy wonderful blessing that you grant us your will. And Father, as we come into thy presence this morning, we just want to glorify your name and honor thee and give thee all the praise that you deserve as our King and Father. And Heavenly Father, as we honor you this morning, we ask that you may look in our hearts and search us, O God, and cleanse us of all unrighteousness and forgive us of all our sins, O God. There are many sins that we've committed, some knowingly and some unknowingly, O God. And we plead, O God, and claim the promise, O God, that you'll forgive us if we confess our sins. And Father, we do so corporately together as a church family and individually. Father, we pray that you may forgive us. And our God, we just want to invite you here in our presence, that you may hear our prayer. Send us thy Holy Spirit, O God, as we learn more about thy love and thy soon coming. As our beloved Elder Reed here opens thy holy word, speak through him, O God, and bless us, O God, in the way that you have planned to do so today. And Father, may you soften our hearts that we may be receptive to thy holy word. And Father, that we may continue to grow closer and closer to you, that your soon coming may be hastened. We want to pray, O God, for those that are not among us this morning, our church family here, O God, that you may bless them. Sometimes because of our limitations in our minds, O God, we forget to pray for them. But Father, may you bless them in the many ways that you can. Some are weak, some are lonely, some are hungry. There are many problems, O God, going on here. And we pray that you may bless us individually and those that are not here and those that are traveling. And we want to present, O God, the many problems that we may have here, the many thanks that we want to claim, O God, individually here, O God. There are things that we may not have had an opportunity to share as a family, but those things that we can only share with you because we know you are the great physician. You can heal us. You are the great comforter. You can comfort us. O God, we want to seek thee now, God, that you may hear our prayers. And Father, we just want to pray for this service, that you may continue to bless us now. All these things, O God, we want to put in thy hands, that only your name may be glorified in this divine hour. and the rest of this day. May your will be done, because we pray in the loved name of Jesus. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
Good morning. How are you all this morning? I remember several months ago, Dr. Merrill asked the children, when he told the children's story, what kind of pets you had. And I remember somebody had a fish, somebody else had a cat, and there was some dogs. Well, we asked our boys when they were younger to pick out a pet for themselves. Our youngest one chose a piranha. Our middle one chose a cat. But our oldest one, Chelsea's dad, picked out the most interesting one of all. And this is what he chose. Do you know what that is? It's a tarantula. It's a big spider. Now, I want you to know really close up front that this is not the real Mrs. T. This is a molting of Mrs. T. Okay? After she molted, then I made her into a paperweight, as you can see. Now, we had Mrs. T for about 10 years. And when she died, we buried her in our pet cemetery in our backyard, okay? Do you know what it means to molt? Do you know what molting means? It means to shed or to get rid of the old skin. Now, some snakes mold, maybe all snakes. Spiders do also. And some birds, I understand, do too. That means they get rid of all their old skin. Now, if you'll notice this little part right here in the front, this little round part right here, when she molts, this part comes off first. And if you hold it up to the light, there's 8 little bitty eye holes there. Because tarantulas or spiders have 8 eyes, okay? And then when she molts, the rest of her just pulls herself right up out of that part right there. All her new legs come out of the old legs. And she pulls herself up. Well, you can see it's kind of like she's like this. And she's really vulnerable to her enemies at that time because it takes several hours for her to do this. So she could really be in big trouble during that time. And then after they pulls herself out of there, she crawls off, and this is what's left. Okay? Now, do you know how many legs a spider has? 8. Right. You know, notice she has 8 legs here. But the most interesting thing about Mrs. T when we got her, guess how many legs she had? She only had 7. Now, we don't know what happened to that other leg before we got her, but she only had 7 legs. And then when she molted the very first time, which they do 2 times a year when they're young and about once a year after that, she had her 8th leg again. It was smaller by far than the other legs were, but each time she molted after that, the leg got bigger and bigger. And I think about the 3rd molting, all her legs were the same size. As you can see, she has all 4 legs, all 8 legs are the same size of each other. There's 8 legs. You'll also notice, if you look at her real closely, she's pretty dull. She's not very pretty. The black brownish color isn't very vivid at all. And she's got orange in there, too, but that's not very pretty at all, either. And when she molts, she's just gorgeous. Her dark brown black is just really vivid, pretty color. She's all fuzzy. She's brilliant. The orange in there is also really bright and pretty, and she looks just beautiful. So she's been made whole, and she looks brand new, okay? When we get to heaven, will we be brand new? Will we be made whole? Will we be wearing glasses when we get to heaven? No. Will there be anybody in a wheelchair when we get to heaven? No. If somebody... Jesus is in heaven, yes. And will there be anybody with just 1 leg? Will the animals have 3 legs or 7 legs on a spider? No. I also read a story in the Signs of the Time magazine a couple months ago about the spider that lived way, way up in the rafters. And he looked down and he thought, there must be some more interesting things for me to see than being way up here. So he attached himself up there and he let himself down on this little tiny thread all the way down to some beams a little bit farther down. And there he built a web. Well, he liked it there and he ate lots of flies and he became fat and prosperous. And he really liked it there. And then one day he looked up and thought, what is that string doing up there? What do I need that for? And he broke it. And guess what happened? That was his lifeline, and his world collapsed, okay? Who is our lifeline? Jesus, you betcha. And we need to obey his commandments. We need to say our prayers, study our lessons, so we can get to heaven, so we can be brand new, so we can be made whole.
Thank you for that special message and song. For our scripture this morning, I'd like you to turn to Galatians 5. I'll be reading from verse 16 to verse 25. I'm going to be using the New Living Translation, but I'd like you to watch and read along with what your particular version may say. Galatians 5, 16 to 25. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone can live that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Spirit controls your life, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, thankfulness, gentleness, self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Father, may your blessings be upon your word and your mercy upon we who have heard.
Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your blessings. We're thankful for your Spirit, and we ask your Spirit to come, to be with us. We've already felt it in the song. What a wonderful song the woman was singing, and we're thankful for the message which was there and the uplifting that it has. The stories which are told, the songs that we've had the chance to sing, and the praise as we prayed and kneeled before you. Come, Holy Spirit, for each one of us need you. Each one of us wants you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dwight Moody had been preaching for years with an earnest yearning. This yearning came into his heart, and he wanted the Holy Spirit, but it was not coming. He began to feel that he did not care to live unless he could receive the divine endowment so that he would be effective in the service for the Lord. At that very time, Chicago was suffering a great fire, and Moody was sent to New York City to solicit money for the rebuilding of the city. He was crying continuously for the Holy Spirit. He wanted to be so much filled with the Holy Spirit come into his heart. But it was difficult. Here he was given a job to do, and he says, "I do not like the work of begging. I could not appeal It just wasn't in him. I was crying all the time that God would fill me with his Spirit. Well, one day in the city of New York City, and he says it this way, "Oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. In fact, I seldom refer to it. It's almost too sacred of experience to name." Paul had a similar experience, which he never spoke of for 14 years. He could only say that God revealed himself to him. Moody had that experience where God revealed himself to him. And in fact, it was so powerful that he asked the Lord to take his hand away because it influenced him that much. He felt that strength, that power that came from this. And he said, "The sermons were not different than I always preached. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted." And he made this statement. I thought this was a very good statement. "I would not now be placed back to where I was before the blessed experience if you could give me the entire world." He would not go back to his previous work where he did not have the Spirit, as it followed later on. It would be as a small dust in the balance. Moody wanted, he prayed, he pleaded, he cried for the Spirit to fill his soul. Once he received it, nothing was worth losing the power for. The work burden was no longer a burden. It was sheer joy. It was love without bounds. It was souls for the kingdom. He was fulfilled. Nothing else mattered in his life. If we have the Spirit in our lives, nothing else will matter to us either. The nature and the work of the Holy Spirit is a divine ministry, far too great for the infinite mind to fathom fully. Jesus aptly illustrated this by the fact of his significant statement to Nicodemus when he explained to him the mystery of being born again. This is found in John 3:8. And he makes this statement, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with every one born of the Spirit. We can't see the wind, but we are made aware of its existence by its undeniable proofs. We hear it, we feel it, we see the results of its contact with nature. Mighty changes occur because of the wind. The sea is lashed into a fury. Great trees are uprooted. Mighty rocks are displaced. Whole cities are carried away in fragments, and many lives are lost. Yet, as we stand by and behold the results of the Holy Spirit's work, it is quite impossible for us either to explain its character or to behold it with the eye. But we can see its effects. The wind with its power to change the world is nothing when we compare it with what it does for a single soul." Changing a single soul, to change our lives, to work within us, to change us from a person who hates to a person who loves, to change a teenage girl into a powerful speaker, to change Moody from a good preacher into a powerful preacher. The moment a man or a woman opens the door of his or her heart, the divine wind blows in, blowing the dust and the dirt of sin from every nook and corner and filling his or her life with every spiritual blessing. What a God we serve if we allow the Holy Spirit to come in. Sin will disappear. Every place it is, it will disappear. The paramount fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Absolutely. Paramount fruit of the Spirit is love. All that follow are but aspects of divine quality. Just as various colors make up the sunlight, so these graces together constitute love. And what are these things? Joy. Joy is love exalting. Peace. Peace is love and repose. Long-suffering is love untiring. Greatness is love enduring. Goodness is love in action. Faith is love in confidence. Meekness is love under discipline. While temperance is love in self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. And you will find throughout my sermon here, there are many, many fruits, and you will see them coming up at various times. But this is a statement I would like you to take a look at. This is found in Acts of the Apostles. And see if this statement is not true. The Savior knew that no argument, however logical, would melt the hard hearts or break through the crust of worldliness and selfishness. He knew that his disciples must receive the heavenly endowment, the Holy Spirit, that the gospel would be effective only as it's proclaimed by hearts made warm and lips made eloquent by the living knowledge of him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Warmth, love. These are the things which make a difference. Not the eloquent speakers. Not all the words and all the logic that we can use. And those of you who do remember that Paul, you remember, on Mars Hill, he had a whole bunch of eloquent arguments about how God exists and the love of Christ to no avail. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to have that love. We need to spend time with people and showing our love to them. As we seek God for the Holy Spirit, it will work in us meekness, humbleness of mind, a conscious dependence upon God for the perfecting of all of us for the latter rain. If we pray for the blessings in faith, we will receive the Holy Spirit as God has promised. However, listen to this statement and see if you have not found this within your own lives. Whenever the need for the Holy Spirit is a matter of little thought, there is soon spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual declension, and death. Whenever minor things occupy our attention, the divine power, which is necessary for growth and prosperity of the church, and which would bring all other blessings in its train, is lacking. Though offered in infinite plenitude. And this is taken from Acts of the Apostles, page 30. This is a situation here that we have if our other things in our lives, and we have a lot of them. We have physical things. We have things outside that we can't control necessarily and so forth. We have all of these things which tear at us and take our time away from our spiritual things, take our time away from prayer in the morning, take our minds away from the important things of bringing souls to Jesus Christ. When these things come into our hearts, there is a spiritual drought. Morning by morning, as we kneel before the Lord and renew our vows of consecration to the Heavenly Father, He will grant us the presence of His Spirit with its reviving, sanctifying power. We need to really want the Holy Spirit to live within us. The Spirit is real. The Spirit is power. And the Spirit is life-changing. And that scares us sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes we like our life as it is. But the Holy Spirit, when we ask for it, it is life-changing. Do we want to have a vibrant spiritual experience with the influence of the Holy Spirit? I pray that we all do, and we can. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Make this the desire of your heart, and you can have power. You can have conviction. You can and will bring people to Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think we have to do it ourselves by some eloquent argument or some text, whatever it happens to be. The one that does it is the Holy Spirit, working in the hearts of the people we come in contact with. Do we demonstrate that love, that warmth, that caring spirit? I pray that we do. Do we want to make new friends and have new church members? Amen. You bet. I hope so. But we are in a battle with Satan for the soul of our friends and our neighbors. Who will join the battle for each person? God does not ask everyone to speak like Steve Vail. No, each one of you have talents. And as I look out over the audience, and over each one of you, I see some of you that have that wonderful smile. And I see these young ladies down here and gentlemen. When we went to the meetings, one of the things I look at, and that is, how are the people being integrated into it? You know, where are they making friends? And I'll tell you one thing, these young people make friends very quickly. You watch them following each other. You ever do that? Watch them following each other around? Total strangers. What a blessing the young are. Can we put a pitcher of water on a table? Can we greet a person at the door? Can we say hello to a stranger? Invite a friend to hear the wonderful truth of the love of Jesus and what he has done for us? Tell a friend how you feel, how forgiving God is, and how much he loves us. Can you do that? Can you be that witness? Your presence at the meetings which are going on and the meetings which are coming is part of the key to the success of winning souls to Christ. Do not take this responsibility lightly. Not one of the programs that are being planned will succeed without everyone working together in prayer and taking personal time. It won't succeed, folks, unless you want it to, unless you pray for it, unless the Holy Spirit is there. I pray that you will take the time. There are many things which are crushing on us. And I want to thank Dorothy. I had asked her to use a translation that was sort of the modern translation. And the Lord works in marvelous ways. I think the one she chose was absolutely excellent. But as Paul wrote to the Galatians in 5:22, verses 5:22 through 26, and this is from the Phillips translation, and Philip writes it this way, Paul's writings. Here is my advice. Live your whole life in the Spirit, and you will not satisfy the desires of your lower nature. For the whole energy of the lower nature is set against the Spirit, while the whole power of the Spirit is contrary to the lower nature. Here is the conflict, and that is why you are not free to do as you want to. But if you follow the leadings of the Spirit, you stand clear of the law, that is, of its condemnation. A battle we cannot win without prayer and the Spirit living in us. We will not win the battle without prayer and the Holy Spirit living within us. I want to be on the winning side. I desire the Holy Spirit to be here. I desire, and listen carefully, I desire that the warmth of the Midland Church is a raging fire fueled by love. A raging fire fueled by love. I want this church to be filled Don't you? The promise of the Holy Spirit is not limited to any age or race. Christ declared that the divine influence of His Spirit was to be with His followers unto the end. From the day of Pentecost to the present time, the Comforter has been sent to all who have yielded themselves fully to the Lord, to His service. To all who have accepted Christ as their personal Savior, the Holy Spirit has come as a counselor, sanctifier, a guide, and a witness. The more closely that we have walked with the Lord, the more clearly and powerfully they have testified to the Redeemer's love and saving grace. Men and women who through the long centuries of persecution and trial enjoyed the large measure of the presence of the Spirit in their lives have stood as signs and wonders to the world. Acts of the Apostles, page 49. To those who at Pentecost were endued with the power from on high, were not thereby freed from further temptation and trial. Sometimes we forget that even though they had received the Holy Spirit, that they went through trials, didn't they, afterwards? Lost their lives. They had a lot of temptations as well. As they witnessed the truth and the righteousness, they were repeatedly assailed by the enemy of truth, who sought to rob them of their Christian experience. And so he is with us. If you don't believe that, talk to people that have just joined the church or whatever it happens to be. The closer we get to Christ, the more the devil works to take this wonderful experience that we have away from us. As the devil assails us, he makes sure that we do not have time to witness. See if this does not fit some of us, or maybe all of us. He makes us feel inadequate, don't we? We do feel inadequate. Too sinful to witness for Christ. Sometimes we have those feelings. I'm too sinful. I can't witness for Christ. But Jesus has given us a familiar promise found in Matthew 28. So let's turn there. Let's turn to Matthew. This is one that you've heard many, many times. But let's go ahead and all of us turn to Matthew 28. And most of you know where I'm going to head, and that is to verse 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to where? End of the age." He's always with us. He will be there. Sometimes we feel He's not. But you notice the way I worded that. I said, sometimes we feel that way. That's really not the case. God is there. Let us now take a look at Acts and the first chapter of Acts and verse 8. Another one which you're familiar with. This is coming up upon Pentecost. Jesus makes this statement. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." This was just before Jesus ascended into heaven. The New International Version says it this way: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and the end of the earth." Enfeebled and defective as it may appear, the church, the Midland Church, is one object upon which God bestows in a special sense, his supreme regard. It is a theater of his grace in which he delights to reveal his power to transform hearts. That's here in the Midland Church. And who is the church? You are. I am. The scripture tells us that the disciples were not waiting in idleness for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes we think that the Holy Spirit, while they were waiting for it, they waited in the upper room. That's sometimes the way that we seem to think of it. But let's turn to Luke and see what Luke has to say. And we want to turn to chapter 24. And verses 52 and 53. That's right at the end of Luke 24, 52 and 53. And let's see what the disciples were doing. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. What were they doing? They were praying and blessing God. And where were they doing it? In the temple. If they were doing it at the temple, do you think everybody else knew about it? Sure did. They didn't sit just idly doing nothing. But yes, did they have the prayer time? You bet they did. Did they pray together? You bet they did. Did they bury their differences? You bet they did. It made a difference in them. What I'd like to do now is I just want to go back just a little bit here. And I like the way that it's said in the New Revised Standard Version. In the temple, they were blessing God. And the New International Version says they were praising God. Do you think this was a witness? Yes, it was. They were not to wait for people to come to them. They were to go to the people with their message. So it is with us. We have a message to give to the world. Like the disciples, like Dwight Moody, like Ellen White, we do not have the converting power of the message of Jesus without the Holy Spirit. The disciples received the Holy Spirit that came to them like the wind and the fire at Pentecost, and they preached with power and thousands were converted. Moody cried for the Spirit, and when it came to him in New York, he exclaimed, "Oh, what a day. I cannot describe it." And he would not take the world for it. Ellen White became a powerful speaker. And the message of a soon coming Savior was going into all the world, and it's going there today. You and I can have this experience. Instead of asking for 15 souls, as we did this for 2008, we should be asking for hundreds and thousands. And think about this, would you? Every time you see a leaf or a branch move and feel the wind in your face, pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray the Holy Spirit will move on your heart and move you towards someone to witness to. Claim the power that blows the dust of sin out of your heart and mine and replaces a stony heart with a heart of flesh. A heart that loves each fellow member and each neighbor as themselves. How many of you would like to see this church full of new members? Amen. Then let us all pray for the Holy Spirit. Shall we bow our heads? Spirit divine, attend our prayer and make our hearts your home. Descends with all gracious power. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come as the fire and purge our hearts like sacrificial flame. Let our whole soul be an offering to our Redeemer's name. Come as the wind with rushing sound and Pentecost grace, and make our salvation known. Wide is the human race. Lord, bless each one. Amen. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, send your Spirit. Send it to be in each one of us. Lord, we love you, and we're thankful for the Spirit. Be close to us. May it transform us. Make us in children of yours. May your Spirit work so powerfully within us that this church will be filled with souls that love you. And may each one of us love each other as you have loved us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.